pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back to our program. It is the second hour, and we are live. Let's continue with Philip Stutz, a good friend of ours. We've talked to him so many times over the years. He first started warning us about the NIL situation. And Philip, it's great to see you. So much to talk about. We want to get to what Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, said a little bit later. But we want to first start with what the political aspect of the Florida State's decision. You've been involved in politics for a long time. We've got the governor of the state, the senator, the former president. Good afternoon. Tell us your thoughts about that part of the FSU situation.
Well, obviously there was a lot of outrage in the state of Florida, and the outrage is okay. But I think you have to distinguish in this moment between the idiots and the rational, and with the elected officials. You've got the people. You got congressman like this guy out of Naples. I'm sorry, out of Broward County named Jared Moskowitz, a congressman. This is so rich. I think for everybody listening, you can pick up these key words that show you that everything they're doing right now doesn't mean anything, Paul. So like Jared Moskowitz said, he's going to circulate a letter. And we'll be filing a resolution condemning the NCAA. I don't even know what that means. It's just all kind of BS, right?
And by the way, Phil, the NCAA doesn't have anything to do with it, as you well know.
He's the Danny Cannell of congressmen, probably half unemployable and just trying to get clicks and likes, you know. Then you've got Senator. Sent a letter, United States Senator Scott sent a letter out asking for questions to be answered. Ooh, like that's going to really move a lot of movement on this. And then you've got a state senator, Corey Simon, former Florida State player.
Yes,
and he has called for a lawsuit. So, I mean, you can see these words like, filing a resolution, he's calling a lawsuit. Governor DeSantis said he's going to propose a state legislation to protest the decision. Again, protest. What does that even mean? And even Governor DeSantis, Paul, has said that he's going to possibly put $1 million of taxpayer money into this. For what? Nothing's going to change.
From reading the political blogs, I don't think he's got that much money left, does he?
And he may not. I'm not. And here's there are like a couple of legislative or politicians, let me say, that are actually kind of doing the right thing. Like you've got this Congressman Donald, who's out of Naples. He's like upset over the situation, blasted the playoff committee, but he didn't call for any kind of legislation. Matt Gaetz here, where I live in Walton County, same thing, blasted the playoff committee, but didn't call for legislation. And of course, President Trump takes the cake, blasted the decision, did not call for any kind of congressional legislation, but he did blame it on DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, which was kind of funny. And, in this moment, we need a little levity, and President Trump does that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah. If we're just being sitting around the bar saying, okay, I like that and I don't like that, the one that brought the biggest chuckle was Trump, because he just went right after his flailing opponent, who's the governor of the state, who should have been the first one out, and he wasn't. And you there's no mystery, and you're in politics about why some people succeed and some don't. Which brings me to your political consultancy and advice. If you're representing one of these people, you want to come out and say something, because I think there is danger, is there not, Philip, in just sitting it out?
Yeah, of course, from a PR standpoint, you know, you want your voters to know you're outraged, but nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. what's done is done. And of course, like calling for some kind of legislation or lawsuit, or I'm going to write a letter, like you're going to the principal's office.
A letter to the editor.
Right. It's all so stupid. It's just so stupid. And, you know, let me ask you, I have a question for you because you're more in tuned on the sports side of this. But like if Georgia had beaten Alabama, would FSU have gotten in?
Very possibly, yes.
If Georgia had beaten Alabama.
I think it would have then been an FSU-Texas debate, and my sense is they would have gotten in.
Wow. That's shocking to me.
I mean, I know that doesn't compute with what we ended up, but you know how convoluted this is. But that's how I went into the Mercedes Stadium on Saturday morning. That was my thought. Georgia wins. It's going to be Georgia and FSU in the Sugar Bowl. Whatever. Doesn't matter what else happens.
So I saw you on Morning Joe.
Yeah, because Philip, the Bama win was critical to Texas. It gave Texas a kick.
Yeah. But I think you may have mentioned this on Morning Joe, but didn't the ACC commissioner Jim Phillips like stop the 12-team playoff from starting this year?
He played a big role. So he was one of three commissioners. And what was interesting about Jim Phillips was the other, and again, people want to do these conspiratorial network alliances, but the ACC is in the same position as the SEC moving forward in relation to ESPN. They are married to ESPN, so that's why what Jim Phillips did just was utterly bizarre. But yes, he was one of three commissioners who killed us, meaning college football fans, having a 12-team playoff this year. And I thought, I don't know if you heard David Hale a minute ago, but I thought he made a really good point. Yeah. You have Greg Sankey out there, who, by the way, as you know, has many advisors around the world, including Washington, D.C., where he spends a great deal of time, including last week. He talks to consultants. He talks to people about the public image of the SEC. And you have to wonder, I mean, it just seems like what Hale said, Phillips is running the ACC like he's the commissioner of the Ivy League.
Well, I've decided I'm going to file a letter in protest the Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, for not getting the playoff in order. And I don't know where that's going to happen, where that's going to go, but my God, it's going to make some news.
Philip, on another subject, and I mentioned the NIL. I mean, you were so early on that when you first started coming on this show talking about NIL, remember we were in New York a lot together.
Yep.
Most of us didn't understand it and really didn't even care because anytime somebody comes on and says, it's coming down soon, we go, great, let us know when it gets here. And it did get here. And now Charlie Baker, another politician, today, I still haven't even figured out what he was proposing, but it's getting a lot of coverage. He's proposing somewhat of a nuanced way of paying players as long as it does not involve their education. I don't know. I assume you've seen the story, but what is going on in that space?
I think he's trying to do something proactive, as the NCAA has done nothing proactive since the first time I came on your show in September of 2019 and said a nuclear bomb is going to drop on college football. The NCAA has the chance to change all of this. And they never have. They've never done anything. Charlie Baker, the former governor of Massachusetts, coming on board as the president is a good change for the NCAA. The guy gets politics. He understands how to get ahead of things. He probably had to come into the job and go, oh, my Lord, I got a lot of work to do. This is a proactive step. Whether it works or not, I have no idea. But it is a proactive step, probably the first proactive step. And maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. This is the first proactive step that the NCAA has taken on NIL that I've seen since the California bill was put in front of their legislature back in 2019.
That is accurate, what you said. And you know, a lot of people like him, but it the problem is it's hard to like the NCAA president.
Well, yeah. But I'll tell you this. Charlie Baker was a Republican that got elected twice in the state of Massachusetts. Like, that's pretty impressive right there. So there's something likable about him. Whether he can translate that into being likable at the NCAA is to be determined.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of problems. So here we are. Do us this favor. You live in Florida, barely, I might add. If you see Matt Gaetz or any of these other congressmen or state senators, or by the way, I just saw this article here. Hold on, let me. One politician down there, essentially, one of the state, a state politician said he's in on DeSantis's spending $1 million to do what. I'm not sure, but DeSantis has one supporter right now in the state of Florida.
Taxpayer money, $1 million. Insane.
As a taxpayer of the state of Florida, I know you. I know you're good with that, right?
Well, not income tax. We don't have that, but we pay a lot of property tax. I'll say that much.
Okay. Well, keep us posted. The FSU and the State Board of Governors are examining it right now, and they'll probably have to go
to
Ritz-Carlton to discuss it this weekend.
Yeah, just everybody out there, just listen for the key code words, like Paul just said, like filing letters and calling for things and proposing. It's all made up stuff.
I kept wanting your former citizen of Alabama, your former state's senior senator to speak out on this subject, and I haven't heard anything yet. So maybe because he is a coach after all.
I haven't heard a thing out of them either. Pretty interesting, actually.
He's been too busy blocking things, I believe.
Department of Defense bills.
Philip, always great to see you. Philip Stutz, one of our favorites, joining us on the comedy show going on down there in the state capital in Tallahassee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Brad is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Hey, brother. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, you said a first yesterday.
What was that?
You said a first. Man, I reached out to you 605 times. I couldn't get in, so give me a little leadway on my call today.
You got it.
All right. First of all, Alabama, Coach Nick Saban, coaches, support staff, all the way from the cafeteria lady or man to the janitor. Congratulations for winning the SEC and the national championship, because that's what it was. So on that, Paul, I tell you what's ironic. All that week before the game, all the Bama callers gone in worrying about that Texas game they lost. It's ironic at the very end of the day, when everything was played out, that Georgia got caught in that, not Alabama. Kind of understand where I'm coming from, Paul?
I do understand that, yes.
And two, John from Louisville, I used to think you were a pretty good dude, you know. But yesterday, and I'll ask Paul this, Paul, has any Georgia fan called you complaining about injuries or asked far why we lost or making excuses?
Not a single one.
Not a single one, because when we lose, we kind of lose with a little bit of class. And we realize the reason we're not in the playoff, it's our fault. We're not going to make excuses. So, John, I want you to take all your 401k plan, which is probably about $1,500. I want you to invest it in Kleenex, like you said, because you're going to lose $750 of it. Because Georgia fans, we're not going to complain about it because we had our shot and we didn't get the job done. And one more thing, Paul. This thing going on in the Middle East where people dying, innocent people, it don't matter where you live. You just get caught up in things. And I hope all the hostages get returned to their families. And I hope the war over there stops, especially this time of the year. And I know it's a big deal over there, and it probably won't ever get resolved. But, Paul, that weighs on me a lot.
Well, it should weigh on all of us when you consider what is at stake. Thank you very, very much for your call. Steve is up next. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, Paul, I got a couple of things I need to ask you about.
Okay.
You know the two things Alabama's tied of?
What's that?
Florida State and Gary Donaldson. You know, they are happy that CBS is not calling football no more.
Yeah, you know, I got so caught up in everything that happened over the weekend, I forgot to open up a bottle of champagne to celebrate that we'll never hear Gary Danielson do another SEC game.
But you know what Alabama people down here in East Alabama want to hear?
What's that?
They want to hear from Mike Griffin and David Pollack.
Well, I don't think you're going to hear from Pollack here, but you may hear from Griff one day, and I can't wait for that spin machine to kick in.
Do a great job, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm sure injuries, a lot of things that none of us really care about right now. But thank you for the call. Next time Griff is on the show, I am going to let him be interviewed by Stacy from Birmingham. Stacy, are you there? Jay is up next.
Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great.
Bama's going to win the national championship, Paul. We had some good luck go our way, but we're going to beat the brakes off of Michigan. Your favorite coach, Harbaugh.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully Texas will beat Washington, so we'll have a rematch. But, Paul, I got a question for you. Is SEC Nation over with, or are y'all still gonna continue to cover?
Yeah, no, we'll do the postseason. Sure.
Oh, good. I enjoy y'all's show. I love y'all's show. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Let's continue with more calls. And James is up next. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul. Roll Tide. Hey, I just got a thought I want to get your opinion on. You know, a lot being said about Jordan Travis saying, you know, he broke his leg earlier or whatever. My thing is, if he'd have broke his leg earlier, Florida State probably wouldn't be undefeated, so we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I do feel for Florida State, but Bama deserves to be in. I'd just like your opinion on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think
thank
that's
you,
probably very accurate. Bob is up next in Oregon. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for your call, or thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I have an idea I'd like to run by. What I'd like to see happen is, I don't know what the date was, but that day that Tammy and her granddaughter tragically died in that car accident, whatever that day was of the month, I'm not sure, I'd like to see that day be dedicated to many of Tammy's calls, or as many as you can tolerate. I should say that.
Yeah, I could tolerate a couple every day. She was that special. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. We take a break here. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back. Always great to say hello to Kevin Clark. We've talked to him for many, many years. Of course, now the This Is Football podcast. Kevin, so much controversy, and I don't know about you. I am somewhat in fatigue mode with all this. Before we move on, your final takeaway on the last 3 or 4 days in college football.
Yeah, the one take I will not accept is that this is somehow a dark day for college football or a dark week. This is college football. It's always been dumb. This is what we signed up for. It's like being a boxing fan. What's the old line about boxing? Can't fix it, can't kill it. This is what, when we decided to be college football fans, we signed up for this system. I feel for Florida State. ACC has been relegated to what amounts to a minor league at this point. And it shows you, Florida State fans are angry. They have every right to be angry. It shows you that every fan base is two bad weeks away from becoming UCF, Paul.
Yeah, and maybe since they are in the same state, they can talk to the UCF people, assuming they beat Georgia. You can fill in the blanks. Kevin, we still have a couple weeks, but you know what happens this time of the year. People start drifting and leaving and shopping and traveling. We have really not even had a chance to look at what we have in our front window here. Let's talk about these games, starting with the one that will follow the Rose Bowl, and that's Texas and Washington, two very unique teams.
Yeah, I was intrigued when looking at some of the stats this morning. First of all, this is a passing playoff. And what I mean by that is that there are only 16 quarterbacks who are averaging over 9 yards per attempt, and four of them are the playoff quarterbacks. It's really astounding. The makeup of these teams is actually kind of similar, just sort of when you look at the stats. And I've been so impressed with Washington, because if you look at the 24/7 talent composite, there's a huge gap in talent by recruiting rankings, for whatever that's worth, between Texas and Washington. Washington has the 26th most talented roster in football. Texas is sixth. And yet, Washington has probably the best offensive line in the country when you look at how many times Michael Penix has been sacked. So I think that there are, you look at the ingredients Washington has. They keep their quarterback upright and they move down the field. They can push the ball down the field. They are my pick right now to win that game. I'm fascinated by it all. I mean, obviously, Washington has, by pressure, the best pass rusher in the country. All of these teams can rush the passer, but I'm going with Washington in that one.
Okay, the one that we'll probably spend a little more time on, surprise, surprise, Alabama and Michigan. Everybody's got a theory on this game. What is yours?
First of all, we talk about yards per attempt. Jalen Milroe is second in the country, only behind Jaden Daniels. But I think that this is not a vintage Alabama team. And that's why I would have put Florida State in the playoff, not to go down that road again. But they have had their clunkers in Tuscaloosa this year against a couple of teams I do not consider marquee teams that Alabama is allowed to have clunkers against. But let's put that off to the side. Michigan has basically controlled every single game they've played this year. They have, I believe, five players with over 20 pressures this year. Alabama, by the way, has the best pass rush duo in football, so that's another matchup that's interesting to watch. But I actually like Michigan in this one. I just think that their defense, by metrics, by the eye test, again, not to go too far down the eye test road, but I just think that they've really handled everything put in front of them this year, and Alabama has not. And so I'm going Michigan here only because I just haven't seen a flaw in them at all from the past 4 months.
We have the Michigan schedule on the screen, Kevin, and pretty underwhelming. What impact, if any, do you think the differential on the schedules could mean in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think that I'm not an SEC homer by any means, but I know that when you play an SEC team, you're playing pros all over the place. And in most cases, if you're playing a good SEC team, you're probably playing 15 guys who are eventually going to step foot on an NFL field on a Sunday. But it's not like Michigan was playing a G5 schedule. Penn State has a lot of good players. Ohio State has probably 15 pros on their team. So it's not going to be some huge step up in competition. But I completely agree. It's going to be a little bit of obviously a shock to the system to play a team like Alabama, who's so deep, as I said, has the two best pass rushers in football by pressure rate. So I think there will be it will obviously be a step up from some of the teams they played this year. But I do think the physicality, the coaching, all of those things give Michigan a comfort level against a team like Alabama.
You always hear people say, I watched the game the other day and the speed differential. You understand it better than most and you can compute it. Is there a dramatic speed differential in this game and does it matter?
Yes, there is. It will always be. I'm from Orlando, Florida, and I watched high school football in Orlando, Florida, and Miami, Florida, and Jacksonville, Florida, and now I live up in New York, and I see high school football here, and I notice when you're in the Midwest or the Northeast, it is a different sport, okay? And that extends to the college conferences. So yes, there's always going to be a speed element to it, but how do you neutralize speed through physicality and through toughness? And that's what Michigan has been able to do. That's why they've had success. They're a better team than they were last year, and they lost to TCU. By the way, they should have beaten TCU. That was just a game they left on the table. There is a speed difference. Alabama will have that edge, but I think Michigan can control that.
They have been leaving the final game of the season on the table now for most of Jim Harbaugh's tenure. Everything stops, everything ends, but is there a way to explain why Jim Harbaugh in postseason is so bad?
Well, first of all, I just don't think they've recruited as well as some of the other teams they go up against. So let's put TCU aside. They should have beaten TCU. That was just an absolutely catastrophic game. But the reason they were losing to Ohio State was because Ohio State had better players. The reason they've lost to a bunch of SEC teams is because those teams have better players. Jim Harbaugh has not been in many years an absolute king of recruiting, okay? And the only way to bridge that gap is to coach so well and develop so much toughness that you end up on that level through other means. I think using the portal is huge. You know, I think we're now seeing a lot of what I would term modern football teams, Florida State, Michigan, where they use the portal to augment their failures in recruiting. And failures may be too harsh a term, but we're seeing situations where teams are able to say, okay, we're weak here, let's go address this in the portal. And I think that you're seeing a little bit of that with Harbaugh. He's a good coach. He's not as good a coach as Saban, because Saban is the best college coach of all time, but you're seeing him install a system, figure out his personnel failures, and bridge the gap that way.
On the Alabama front, you're right. This is a different team, and it has given heartburn to its fans the entire season. How have they gotten here, in your estimation?
Well, first of all, I think they're the most talented team in the country when you look at the 24/7 recruiting composite. So you're just thinking about, and I think that they, like, I think what three of their classes over the past 5 years have been number one, and one of them was the best class of all time. Right. There's a talent level here. And guys like Dallas Turner, who are going to be day one NFL draft picks, they're all over the place. That's just what happens in Tuscaloosa. It doesn't take much for a team like Alabama to get going. It doesn't take much for a team like Georgia to get going. Milroe's gotten better basically every single week since October. As I said, one of the most efficient passers in football. So, I mean, you combine a roster that talented with a couple of lucky breaks, let's face it, and the greatest coach of all time, and yeah, they can be the fourth best team in the country. So I'm a huge believer in recruiting. I'm a huge believer in talent and just that winning out. And I usually believe, as I say with Michigan, is that teams with the better players win every Saturday. It is as simple as that. And so Alabama being able to sort of improve what amounts to every single week since basically the clunker against USF. And obviously in the SEC schedule, you're going to have some weeks where you look worse than you really are, just because of the nature, as I said, of all the NFL talent throughout that conference. But their ability to improve, it's just pure Saban. I mean, you saw it, I think, on the SEC Network postgame show after the title game, where like Saban makes adjustments even against a guy like Kirby Smart, who is basically his the equivalent of his football son, that reassert his dominance. He knows how to do this. And so I'm not surprised at all that Alabama's here, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win the national championship.
In relation to the coaching matchup, Michigan's two toughest games were without Jim Harbaugh, and they won. I know you have the players you can get through, but I'm really interested, as you just talked about adjustments, what does Jim Harbaugh bring to the table during those 60 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I covered Jim Harbaugh when he was in the NFL, and it's funny, when that suspension came through, I was thinking about what he does during the week as far as game plan stuff, as far as instilling toughness, as far as just having everything sound. I'm not sure that most coaches are elite game day coaches in college football. In fact, most of them are not. There's a line in John Talty's book where when Alabama hired Nick Saban, I won't curse on here, but he said, you got I'll paraphrase, you got a bad coach, but a great recruiter. That's what Nick Saban said to the athletic department at Alabama. And I kind of think that you see that a lot of times with a lot of these coaches. And Saban was being obviously ironic. He's an amazing game day coach, but most of these guys are program builders. And so I think Jim Harbaugh is a really good game day coach, but it doesn't matter when you're playing a bunch of teams that that don't have near as good of players. Ohio State was in their own head. Ryan Day doesn't know how to make decisions when he's playing against Michigan. I mean, they basically beat themselves. And so I think having Jim Harbaugh back is big, but it's not massive. It's not game changing. I think that a college coach's job is done basically by Saturday morning. So I don't think that having Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines is going to be some sort of game changer.
But just using what you said a minute ago in relation to Saban, he is a good adjuster. So
yes.
I'm going back to your early pick in the game.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to marry you to it, but we are going to. What factor does coaching have? Preparation, they're both pretty consistent and pretty equal, but it would seem, based on what I'm gleaning from what you said, Saban would be a better game day coach.
Yeah, Saban is a better game day coach. He's the best. I think he's one of the best defensive minds in the history of the sport, college or pro. What my pick is going off of the consistency I've seen from Michigan every single week, and the inconsistency in some weeks, including in the Iron Bowl with Alabama. And so I've just seen the lows from Alabama enough to know that that's capable, that's in their arsenal. I have huge respect for what they've been able to do. But I'm going to go with Michigan just because of the consistency every single week. Understand it's a worse schedule. Understand the recruiting rankings, the pedigree isn't there, and that Jim Harbaugh has made a ton of mistakes, especially as you mentioned in December and January of the past couple of years. But body of work, I'm unfortunately going to go with most deserving over best here as far as my pick. And I just like the way Michigan's controlled their season, Paul.
We'll give you a mulligan. Most of the people we put on, we do not like to go against the tide. It's bad for business. Seriously, Kevin, a very fascinating analysis. We always enjoy talking to you. Be well.
Thanks, Paul. Anytime, buddy.
Great stuff. Kevin Clark, picking Michigan and Washington here in the two early CFP semifinals. We'll take a short break. Back with your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills,
your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the program, and let's check out Chris in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I thought I was listening to Boo Corrigan on your last analyst.
He was.
He'd say one thing, and then he'd say the exact opposite, and it sounded like the college playoff committee.
No, I agree. I don't understand. Well, I mean, you either... You're talking about a guy who's the best game management coach in the world. He's got the best team on talent, but you still go the other way. Based on what? I don't know.
And that brings me to kind of my point, main point, but I did want to give a shout-out to two different fan bases. First, I was at the game, like you were, this Saturday, me and my wife, as someone who's also married to a diehard Alabama fan, right? I realized as we were going in that I looked too much like a Georgia fan. Because I had like a black jacket on, that kind of stuff. So my wife bought me one of those plastic chains outside the stadium, you know, and I don't know if that guy was a voodoo magic guy or something, but I took that off at the start of the second quarter because I had to hit the bathroom, and man, that's when we started stinking. The moment I put it back on, we were back in business. So there's something there, but the Georgia fans really, I got to tell you, man, it was one of the best game day experiences I've ever had. And it wasn't just because we won. You know, there weren't a whole lot of barking that I heard. Like, Georgia fans, I think, realized that, like, hey, you might have been number one all year, but there was something real to this Alabama team, and it definitely showed on that field. There was no point at which, once Alabama took the lead, that really there was a concern that it was going to go away. I mean, it was just like a heavyweight fight, right? Like Ollie Frazier, just power punch after power punch, and it was a great game.
You're right about all of that, but the atmosphere I don't think we've really talked about enough. I mean, it's you know, when you we rarely have a 50-50 crowd. It's so unique. I know we have it at Georgia, Florida, but you don't see it very many times, and especially in an indoor building, it is loud.
Yeah. I got the other fan base. I got to say, so I've called in many times over the years, and I'm from a long line of very proud, and a lot of them Buckeye fans, right? Because I'm from Ohio originally. And I put the call out. I said, hey, listen, I go, who you got? Like, who's a true fan? Because if you're going to say your rivalry is the top rivalry, like they try to claim, like you're going to tell me you're going to root for Michigan. I can never root for Auburn. I don't care. I don't care if them winning the game is the cure for cancer. I'm not going to root for them. And you know what? Like the Buckeye Nation is standing tall on that. So we'll see. Right. But, I have a couple of things I want to just touch with you a little bit, right? I mean, I've been listening to all this BS. I mean, my wife is more happy that I got in today because I haven't been able to get in for about 2 weeks. And she's like, God, call Paul and talk to him because you need some counseling on this stuff. Because it was driving us crazy listening to this analysis of stuff. And I think, you know, for the weeks leading up to the final four, I think the committee, where they really screwed up is they weren't really clear on criteria. And the number one criteria for me is strength of schedule, right? Like how can you say that, oh, someone has dominated their competition all year if they're playing basically high school, like scrimmage teams, right? I mean, come on, that doesn't even make the sense. And I would think analysts obviously would need that, right? But the other thing that I would say about it is, I think the answer they gave for FSU was wrong. It's not that guy was hurt. I mean, Lord knows, we know what happened to us when Tua got hurt, right, and things like that in the past. I mean, if Jalen Milroe went down with an injury, there's no way we would be anywhere where we were, right, in the rankings. But I think more of it was, doesn't FSU have about the same? They had like a 55th strength of schedule. Am I right on that?
You are right.
Something
about
like that.
So
fifth. So doesn't Michigan have about the same strength of schedule, like somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, something like that?
It's certainly not vintage.
I mean, it's terrible. And so there's two things. Like, FSU is all mad at Bama and saying it's fixed. Well, first of all, if Georgia wins, FSU is getting left out again unless they jump Texas, right?
And, well, remember, they were already ahead of Texas. See, I really believe Texas would have gotten screwed had Georgia won the game.
Could be. I mean, I do have a sense that Alabama was kind of pushing
Texas
them from
behind. Texas was the greatest beneficiary because Alabama.
Totally. You know, the other thing that I would say, though, is why isn't – if I'm a team, if I'm FSU and I have the exact same record and roughly the same strength of schedule as Michigan, why is Michigan number one and why aren't we? Maybe that's a better question.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I thought Alabama got in, they might try to separate them so it wouldn't be an Alabama-Florida State conversation. But remember, it's a committee. Never forget that. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.